This is Africa News Tonight on the Voice of America.
Good evening and welcome to Africa News Tonight from the English to Africa service of the Voice of America, your source for Pan-African news and world developments. I'm Kim Lewis in Washington, and coming up on Africa News Tonight...
This team is ready. Our party is ready. And when we elect Donald Trump, the 45th president of the United States, together, we will make America great again.
That's Republican vice presidential candidate Mike Pence speaking last night at the Republican National Convention in Cleveland. Also today is Donald Trump's day to close the deal at the Republican National Convention as he formally accepts the nomination for Republican presidential candidate. Meanwhile, Senator Ted Cruz continues to draw criticism for his speech last night, and humanitarian agencies are slowly gaining access to remote areas of the Lake Chad Basin region where 3 to 4 million people are displaced. We'll have these stories and more, so stay with us. There's lots more ahead on Africa News Tonight. Our top story this hour, Indiana Governor Mike Pence made his debut last night as the Republican Party's vice presidential nominee. He delivered his formal acceptance speech on the third day of the party's national convention in Cleveland. Protests continued outside the hall as well, as we hear from VOA national correspondent Jim Malone in Cleveland.
Mike Pence took the national spotlight on stage at the Republican National Convention.
I'm a Christian, a conservative, and a Republican, in that order.
Pence is a traditional party conservative who could help convince skeptical Republicans to get behind Donald Trump as the party nominee.
This team is ready. Our party is ready. And when we elect Donald Trump, the 45th president of the United States, together, we will make America great again.
Signs of that party rift were still evident Wednesday. Texas Senator Ted Cruz, who lost to Trump after a bitter primary battle, urged Republicans to vote in November. But he fell short of a formal endorsement of Trump, prompting some boos from the delegate.
Stand and speak and vote your conscience. Vote for candidates up and down the ticket who you trust to defend our freedom and to be faithful to the Constitution.
Move back! Move back!
Outside the convention hall, there were more protests Wednesday as some demonstrators were detained by police after a flag burning. A somewhat calmer scene played out in Cleveland's aptly named Public Square, where passionate protesters have gathered from around the country all week in support of various causes. Some have come to oppose Trump's plan for a border wall with Mexico, while others spoke out on both sides of the gay rights debate, including those opposed.
God is angry with your wickedness every single day.
And those in support.
I'm not with them. They can say what they want. I'm still here. I'm not afraid to be out here.
For some, it was more about being part of a show, like Trump critic Marnie Halassa.
I think it's going to be fine. I was worried about coming here. I was, like, so worried, but, I mean, now I'm in Public Square. I'm talking to a lot of people. It's fine.
For Jesse Gonzalez, it's also about gun rights.
I hope to convince people, firstly, to vote for Donald Trump, and secondly, to try and fight to preserve our Second Amendment rights.
John from Cleveland doesn't like either major candidate.
I'm trying to express my displeasure with the choice of the two major parties, Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump. I think it's an embarrassment. I think we should be ashamed.
But yes, independent candidate Vermin Supreme said he was available.
I hear there's a very strong anybody but Trump feeling here, and I am anybody but Trump.
Back inside the hall, Donald Trump was on hand for the Pence speech and now prepares to deliver his most important speech so far, his acceptance speech on Thursday night. Jim Malone, VOA News, at the Republican National Convention in Cleveland.
Well, as Jim says, today is Donald Trump's day at the Republican National Convention. After 3 days of praise from some of the party's biggest names and his formal nomination as the Republican presidential nominee, Trump will give his acceptance speech in Cleveland. Unity has been a key focus for Republicans. Supporters say it's essential as they go up against Democrat Hillary Clinton in the November election. One-time rivals like Florida Senator Marco Rubio and Wisconsin Governor Scott Walker use their convention speeches to back the New York billionaire. But Texas Senator Ted Cruz, one of Trump's bitter opponents in the campaign, drew boos for refusing to endorse Trump. Our colleague Vincent McCourry is in Cleveland covering the convention. He spoke with me about the reaction to the senator's speech and what we can expect tonight.
Perhaps the general audience in the hall may not have expected that. But of course, the Trump campaign knew that, expected that, because he gave his speech way before. I saw him during the day kind of rehearsing or going over some of the stuff because they come on stage to do that. He gave them the speech. They put it in the teleprompter. They expected that. I don't personally think that the campaign did not expect that, but they don't seem to have cared much. I think they wanted to prove a point. They wanted to say, well, here is Ted Cruz, who committed himself along with the other presidential candidates that they will endorse any one of them who emerges the nominee or the presumptive nominee. Now, here he comes. He has refused to endorse Mr. Trump, and therefore the point they would prove is that he is an unreliable person, he's a liar, he cannot be trusted. Therefore, even in the future, looking into the future, this is a person that you can't really rely upon.
So do you think this will help Donald Trump in garnishing more support?
You know, it all depends on how you're looking at it. Ted Cruz, in a way, wanted to make sure that he still maintains his position, that he has certain values he stands for. And in as much as he came to the Republican National Convention, he wanted to make the point to those in the audience that I still believe in the Republican Party. I believe that the other side should not win, but I don't think necessarily this is the best person for a party. Now, whether that will continue endearing him among those conservative Republicans or not, it's hard to tell. But for sure, so many in the audience were not happy with him. Even some of his supporters, some of those who have rooted for him before, felt like a time has come for him to fall in line and just support their candidate because it's better for them to have Donald Trump than to have Hillary Clinton. So I don't think it helped him so much. It might be now, I think, a self-destructive move, but it all depends on how quick and move on. But if it stays on, if they keep talking about this, perhaps it may have some far-reaching implication for him into the future.
Well, one person who did talk about unity last night was the VP nominee, Mike Pence. What has been reaction so far to Mr. Pence's speech?
Well, that was a rousing speech he made. And in a way, it was the first time, really, he was speaking in that position. He hasn't been part of this campaign. He wasn't one of those aspirants for the GOP nomination. So he kind of introduced himself. He was very articulate. He kind of helped to explain Mr. Trump. You know, he was saying, look, this man is not a traditional politician. He's not politically correct. He's his own man. But this is the kind of a person this country needs today. I think he came across as a very strong person in terms of the ability to articulate what really needs to be done. Some people have still criticized the fact that his positions on issues and his values do not necessarily go hand in hand with those of Mr. Trump. They're like two people coming from completely two different directions. But he himself said, hey, perhaps Mr. Trump brought me in to kind of give that balance.
Everyone is looking forward to Donald Trump. Tonight's his big night. So what do people want to hear from Donald Trump tonight?
Many people say, well, they would like to see a little bit of a presidential demeanor where there's a little bit more discipline. In fact, many are hoping that he will stick with a teleprompter so that he can hopefully deliver things in a way that will be a little different than the way he has always been talked, kind of speaking. They hope to hear him say things that will help unify the party, take along those who have stayed outside or on the fringes, those undecided voters within the Republican Party itself, particularly the leadership, see that this is a moment to come and support him because it's inevitable. He is the GOP presidential candidate. I think there is nothing so new that people can expect him to say. I think today what people want to see in him is that presidential demeanor. How does he deliver the message? What does he say that will make him look like he's really ready to become the president of the United States? And not necessarily the Mr. Trump, the wealthy person, the big personality, the guy who kind of zooms in his big planes and helicopters. They want to see a presidential Mr. Donald Trump.
My colleague Vincent McCourty at the Republican National Convention in Cleveland. And in related news, Republican presidential nominee Donald Trump told the New York Times he would not pressure authoritarian allies, including Turkey, who cracked down on civil liberties or opponents. Mr. Trump also said before coming to the defense of NATO members, he would consider whether a country had met its contributions to the alliance. He said the U.S. can no longer afford to provide the bulk of financial support to military PACs, especially if allies are not paying their share. A statement issued by the campaign of Democratic Party candidate Hillary Clinton said it is fair to assume that Russia's president favors Mr. Trump. Mr. Trump's campaign chairman said the newspaper report was inaccurate, although the Times published a transcript of the interview. You're listening to Africa News Tonight live on the following frequencies, 15, 580 and 6080 kilohertz on the Voice of America. I'm Kim Lewis in Washington. Sixteen past the hour. Here's a recap of our top story. Today is Donald Trump's day to close the deal at the Republican National Convention as he formally accepts the nomination for Republican presidential candidate. And for more news and information, visit our website at voaafrica.com. At the International AIDS Conference in Durban, a new fund has awarded its first grants to fight the disease among the LGBT community. The $10 million LGBT Fund was established last November. It's a joint effort by the President's Emergency Plan for AIDS Relief, or PEPFAR, and the Elton John AIDS Foundation. VOA's Joe DiCapua reports.
The LGBT Fund awarded its first grants to the International HIV-AIDS Alliance and the Global Forum on MSM and HIV. The grants will be used to rapidly respond to emergency situations, such as a lack of medicine at clinics or the arrest of activists. They'll also pay for longer-term projects that wage political and legal campaigns. AIDS 2016 Conference Chair Chris Byrer says the LGBT community has been hit very hard by HIV/AIDS.
Fewer communities are in greater need than the LGBT community. Transgender people are 40 times more likely to be living with HIV than other adults, and men who have sex with men are 24 times more likely to be living with HIV.
He says discriminatory laws, prejudice, and stigma are blocking access to treatment and prevention.
Today, in 2016, same-sex acts are still criminal offenses in 76 countries. How can we provide HIV services to people when their actual lives, identities, behaviors, relationships are criminalized?
U.S. Global AIDS Coordinator and PEPFAR Chief Deborah Birx says it was the gay community that began and led the fight against HIV/AIDS in the United States. She says thousands died in the early years of the epidemic, and thousands more took to the streets to demand something be done. Dr. Birx says much progress has been made since the epidemic began in 1981, but many are still at risk today.
If you're diagnosed today, you can have a normal lifespan, but that means you have to be diagnosed early. And whether you're a young man of color in L.A. or a gay man in Limbe, Cameroon, you are not being diagnosed early. You're being diagnosed very late with opportunistic infections, leading to a very untimely death or a very difficult life, even on ART, because the amount of immune destruction that has occurred.
Burke says the LGBT community has been forced into the shadows. Before his session at AIDS 2016, Sir Elton John, his husband David Furnish, and South Africa's health minister visited a Durban clinic providing LGBT services. John says a lot has changed since the last time the AIDS conference was held in the city 16 years ago.
It was an amazing experience for me because many years back I came to Durban with David on one of our first field trips and met with some white members of the LGBT community in a room above a cafe or restaurant. And none of those people wanted to have their photographs taken with me because they didn't want to be seen in the newspapers, because if they were seen with a photograph of me and they were known to be gay, they would be physically attacked.
He says the effort to end HIV/AIDS requires more than science.
If you give people love and compassion and you include them, like LGBT people, like intravenous drug users, like sex workers, like transgender people, you don't leave them behind. You leave no one behind in the human race. You include them all. If you don't, this campaign to end AIDS will be a disaster.
He says he realizes that expanding LGBT rights in Africa will not be easy.
I know that certain governments in Africa will not respond to someone like me telling them, you should do this, you should do that. I count for nothing as far as that goes. What I can do is, if the clinics are closed down because they're LGBT, we can give them medicine. If they're arrested, we can get them legal aid. We can help them on the ground. And with these countries, sometimes, who knows, it might take 50 years. But I guarantee it will change.
Elton John told the AIDS conference that no human being should be left behind, no matter their color, sexual orientation, or religious belief. Everyone, he says, was created equal. Joe DiCapua, VOA News, Washington.
Humanitarian agencies are slowly gaining access to remote areas of the Lake Chad Basin region where 3 to 4 million displaced persons are at risk. The Western and Central Regional Director of the World Food Program last week visited communities where some of Nigeria's more than 2 million displaced have been found. Abdul Dieng says that of the four countries in need, Nigeria has suffered some of the most severe cases. He blames most of this tragedy on 7 years of violence by the jihadist Boko Haram. Dieng talked with VOA's David Arnold about the problems the WFP faces in the region. He began by describing what it will take to save lives over the next 3 months.
Today, we estimate the total population in need of assistance around 10 million. When we look at food assistance in the four countries, we talk about 3 to 4 million people in desperate need, particularly from now till end of September.
What is the most immediate need and where does that occur in this region?
The most immediate need is food, let's say, or cash, whether we have to provide them with food in area where there is no food or market are not functioning, or allow them to get cash in area where food is available but the population cannot afford it. In the fourth country, Nigeria is the most affected country, the northeast of Nigeria, particularly the state of Borno and the state of Yobe. Cameroon, highly affected in the northern part, the western part of Chad, and the southeast of Niger. Food and nutrition, particularly for children.
Can you tell me something about the logistics of this, particularly northeastern Nigeria? Are roads accessible now? Is everything being trucked in?
Many roads were blocked, but there are now roads being accessible. I am going to the region next week to really make sure, particularly that road between N'Djamena and Maiduguri, be open for that corridor to help people to move and help goods to pass. The logistics, we're putting together all what is required, including airplanes, including helicopters, for particularly our people to access those zones which are very difficult to access, whatever will be required to go and help those people in very isolated zones, we are engaged to do it.
Have you any indication of how many people have died?
People have died in that region because of attacks from Boko Haram, and there are also people who have died because of lack of food. The numbers yet have to be assessed. If you're asking me about malnutrition, in Nigeria alone, we estimate the number of children under two, about 250,000 children severely malnourished, who will require very special food and treatment.
Could I ask you what you offer these children suffering from severe malnutrition?
We are assisting them using a very specialized product that we call Plumpy Sap. This is a product that we provide to children to help them overcome severe malnutrition. The resources to assist these populations only in the northeast of Nigeria is around 100 million, out of which only 25 million have been received. And you see, we're still looking for about $75 million to assist these populations in northeast of Nigeria alone for an extra month. In the region, the total needs are estimated about 220 million. Food and nutrition is the biggest need for those people.
Where will you get the resources?
This is why I'm taking this opportunity to really appeal the donors. The donors who provided help, but still not sufficient to assist these people. If we don't do it now, it will become much more complicated in the weeks and months to come.
I assume you're talking about people dying in the future.
This is what we don't want to see. The risk, if we don't act now, people may die.
That was Abdou Dieng in Dakar talking with VOA's David Arnold. The Italian Coast Guard says over 1,000 migrants were rescued on the Mediterranean today. The International Organization for Migration says so far this year, nearly 241,000 people have arrived in Europe by sea. Nearly 3,000 have died or gone missing trying to make the journey. Most of the migrants and refugees are leaving from Libya and trying to reach Italy. Last year, more than 1 million migrants and refugees arrived in Europe. And that wraps up this edition of African News Tonight. I'm Kim Lewis in Washington. For all the latest developments on the continent 24/7, visit our website at voaafrica.com. For listeners on VOA's Nairobi FM station, please stay tuned for the Swahili Evening News coming up at 16:30 UTC. For all other listeners, please stay tuned to the Sunny Side of Sports. Tune in again at 1800 UTC for another edition of Africa News Tonight. On behalf of our producer, Kwame Ofori, and our engineer, Nick Ivanoff, thanks for choosing the Voice of America.
Democracy in action. That's what the U.S. presidential election is all about. Who's going to be the new president of the United States come November 8th? Tune in to VOA's coverage of the 2016 presidential election. Reports, expert analysis, and more. Professional, up-to-the-minute coverage that can't be found anywhere else. Right here on VOA.
Escape from the humdrum and dance to the beat of an African drum. Hi, I am David Van, host of the Voice of America's African Beat. Splendid sounds from the continent that all humanity calls home. Join me Monday through Friday at 0900 and 2000 UTC for a soothing musical jam. I guarantee.
What's happening, Africa? This is Jackson Bunganyi in Washington, D.C.
And I'm Nadia Sami in Johannesburg, South Africa. Thank you for joining us on Upfront each Wednesday, 17:30 UTC, for a lively discussion on issues that are topical, challenging, and always engaging.
The show tries to capture that fundamentally aspirational nature of today's African youth. As you've noticed, right here on the show, we talk about everything. Nothing is off the table.
I am a social networker, often online. For me, it's all about making connections, meeting people.
Ooh, without my family, I don't think I would have been here today because they gave me a lot of support morally.
Can't AU, African Union, can these people really solve this nonsense of rigging election, brutality during what election violence, all this whatever?
Employment rates are climbing. So definitely there's less jobs in the market now.
Remember to connect with us on Facebook and on Twitter at UpfrontAfrica.